How's everybody doing this morning? Doing all right? Good. I'm oddly at ease and comforted right now, despite all the crazy little minor things that were just impeding on the morning where they were out of our control. Things like the internet going down and the keyboard having little issues and me forgetting with my foggy brain some details, just making the morning work and being busy with the upcoming season this week, being Holy Week, today being Palm Sunday, and trying to fit in some of our traditional type of things where if you are new to the Brethren and you don't know what threefold communion is and you'd like to experience just a pretty spiritual holy evening where we partake in a communion and we call it the love feast, and we wash each other's feet as sort of one of our distinctives in the Brethren Church. I encourage you all to come out to that on Friday night. It's always been one of my favorite things that we do distinctly as the Brethren Church. It's intimate, it's holy, it's special. So I would love to see you all there. We are in the fifth week of our series called Ashes to Ashes, and we are continuing to look at this term, the term for ashes, as it presents itself throughout the Old Testament and into the New Testament. Today we're going to get a little bit into the New Testament, and we're going to be looking at the ashes of sacrifice to the ashes of community. This is where it fits within the series, as we kind of started with the term of holiness, and before I started the study, I didn't realize how much holiness really was going to express itself again and again as we looked at this term ashes, and it popped up in different places where it was like, oh, God really is calling us to holiness. And holiness is expressed as we give ourselves to the Lord, as we see ourselves dealing with anger and turning our anger into celebration. And we looked at David and bringing the Ark of the Covenant into the holy city. And then we moved into mourning and looked at Job and all the trials that he went through as he sat in sackcloth and ashes and mourned his losses. Yet God turned his life into a life of redemption. And then last week we looked at repentance and how that brought freedom, and looked at some of the prophecies in Daniel chapter 9. This morning, I want to look at sacrifice. I want to look at the sacrifices that we have, or that were given to the Israelites, that they were told to make these sacrifices. I'm going to look at five different sacrifices in the book of Leviticus. All right? Woo. That's a fun book. Actually, just a side story on that book. Taryn's not in here. She came back from a winter camp. Am I allowed to say this? I'm already there. When she came back from camp, she told us that she no longer liked a little boy named Austin, but she liked a little boy named Levi. And then she was like, yeah, it's actually short for Leviticus. So I kind of have a love-hate relationship with this book right now. Spurs memories in my mind. But it also causes me to pray heavier and longer and stronger for my little ones. And I'm going to look at these five sacrifices that God gave the Israelites to make, because I truly believe that we can't fully understand the sacrifice that Jesus made for us if we don't understand the sacrificial system that was given to the Israelites. I think there's a critical importance to understanding the significance of a sacrifice and an offering made to the Lord, and it gets descriptive. It gets very descriptive. It tells the Israelites exactly down to the science of what they are supposed to do with the best of what they have in order to make amends or make an atonement for their sin. Actually, I want to show you guys this video. Daniel, can you go ahead and cue up this video? It did such a good job of explaining atonement and sacrifice that I was like, well, let's just show the video because it does it better than I can do. So it is from the Bible Project. So I go ahead and pull it up, Daniel, and when it starts playing, I'll stop talking. The Bible Project does a great job of explaining biblical portions of Scripture with illustrations and words that help you visualize as well as hear what the word is. Okay, go ahead.
We all long for the world to be good, for people to live in peace, act with love and justice, but there's a problem. Something compels us humans to constantly wreak havoc.
They connect us to a new life source. The very power that brought Jesus back from the dead is the same power that can deal with the evil in our own lives and transform us into people who lead lives of love and peace.
Okay. That's good. Hi. He does a little promo at the end of on the video. So there's kind of two parts to this video, and I want to remain in the first half of it this week. As we look at the sacrifices and the offerings that were required of the Israelites prior to Jesus' coming, there were offerings, there were burnt offerings, there were sin offerings, there were wave offerings. One of my favorite ones, there was a heave offering, right, where you just throw it. It's called a heave offering. There's a drink offering where you take a drink and you pour it out on the ground. Why would you do that? Yeah. There's peace offerings. There's love offerings. There's several different kinds of offerings. And so I wanted to look at Leviticus chapter 1. If you guys have your Bibles, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, third book in the Bible, right? And I want to look at, I'm not going to read all first of the first five chapters, but I do want to read the first one, because the rest of them are similar to it in structure, okay? And then I'm going to look at and talk a little bit about each one of these. Actually, before I do the first one, there's two different categories of offerings. As I was reading them, I was like, okay, the peace offering in chapter 3 and the grain offering in chapter 4, is that right? Yeah. The fellowship offering in chapter 3 and the peace offering are ones that are more out of thankfulness. They're an offering of goodness. They're saying, God, you're good and I'm thankful, and so I want to give you the best of what I have. Okay? They're coming from a heart of generosity. They're coming from a heart of giving, of wanting to give. The other three that I'm going to look at are offerings that are saying, God, I need you. They're out of necessity, either because of guilt or sin or repentance. And so this is the structure that it's kind of given to us in chapter 1 as we read together. The Lord called Moses and spoke to him from the tent of meeting. He said, speak to the Israelites and say to them, when anyone among you brings an offering to the Lord, bring as your offering an animal from either the herd or the flock. If the offering is a burnt offering from the herd, you are to offer a male without defect. He must present it at the entrance to the tent of meeting so that it will be acceptable to the Lord. You are to lay your hand on the head of the burnt offering, and it will be accepted on your behalf to make atonement for you. You are to slaughter the young bull before the Lord. And then Aaron's sons, the priests, shall bring the blood and splash it against the sides of the altar at the entrance to the tent of meeting. You are to skin the burnt offering and cut it into pieces. I'm sorry for animal rights activists, right? This does get very descriptive, okay? You are to skin the burnt offering, cut it into pieces. The sons of Aaron, the priests, are to put fire on the altar and arrange the wood on the fire. Then Aaron's sons, the priests, shall arrange the pieces, including the head and the fat, on the wood that is burning on the altar. You are to wash the internal organs and the legs with water, and the priest is to burn all of it on the altar. It is a burnt offering, a food offering, an aroma pleasing to the Lord. God delights in this. It's the smell of cooked meat. It's the barbecue. He smells the barbecue. And it's not the food that is pleasing to him, it's the sacrifice. It's the heart of those that have brought it. And maybe a little bit of the food as well. If the offering is a burnt offering from the flock, from either the sheep or the goats, you are to offer a male without defect. You are to slaughter it at the north side of the altar before the Lord. And Aaron's sons, the priest, shall splash its blood against the sides of the altar. You are to cut it into pieces, and the priest shall bring them, including the head and the fat on the wood that is burning on the altar. You are to wash. It's the same process, okay? Third part to this, if the offering is a burnt offering of birds. So he goes, you know, cattle, sheep, birds. Offer that dove or that pigeon. And in verse 15, the priest shall bring it to the altar, wring off the head, and burn it on the altar. Its blood shall be drained out on the side of the altar. If we wanted to do another fun study throughout the Old Testament all the way into the New Testament, we could look at this, the image of blood, like the video showed. Blood is representative of life. It's not meant to be this gory thing that our movies have turned it into. It symbolizes life. It symbolizes the life stream of all of our bodies. That's where our life flows through our blood. He is to remove the crop and the feathers and throw them down east of the altar where the ashes are. Okay? Now, the blood goes on the right, they burn it, and the ashes go on the left. There's a system to this. Okay? And one of the, as I read through, when I looked up all the verses that contain the word ashes, it popped up over and over and over again in Leviticus because of this process. It's very systematic. There is meaning to the system. He shall tear it open by the wings and dividing it completely, and then the priest shall burn it on the wood that is burning on the altar. It is a burnt offering, a food offering, an aroma pleasing to the Lord. Okay. The sacrificial system was the system in place during that time that God had designed for the Israelites to express their willingness to trust in God. To say, God, I am going to give you, I'm going to give this up so that these things can happen. All right. The burnt offering, actually, let me go with, and I'm going to go with the peaceful ones or the fellowship one first. So I'm going to talk about the peace offering first. The peace offering was a voluntary offering made to express gratitude or to fulfill a vow. It also symbolized fellowship and communion with God and other worshipers. So most of the sacrifices in the Old Testament system were not eaten by the worshipers, but the peace offering was meant to be eaten. Okay, they would offer this animal up or this sacrifice up, and that only a portion of the animal or the grain that was brought to the altar was burned, and then the rest was given back to the worshiper and to the poor and to the hungry. Okay, the offering was made as a sign of peace. It's a beautiful picture here of God's provision for his people, both physically and spiritually, right? If you're giving it up as a peace offering, you're saying his grace and his goodness are present through the offerings, and you're providing food for other people. You're sharing, in my opinion, this peace offering is a type of celebration that would look much like what we do when we invite people over to our house and say, hey, let's gather together in goodness. And me as the host, if I'm hosting and I'm cooking up the fatty calf or I'm cooking the steak, I got the fillets or I got the brisket on the grill or whatever it may be, hey, come on over. Everything is good between us. Let's celebrate. And then they would take a portion of that and say, well, this is for God. The rest is for us. Let's eat together. Okay? The next one would be the grain offering. The grain offering was very similar to the peace offering, except instead of an animal, it was made with flour of grain mixed with oil and frankincense. It was offered as a thanksgiving offering, a gesture of loyalty and gratitude, and as a sin offering. I am curious, after reading this one, if there were, and it's very likely that there were also vegetarians back in the day that only ate bread or ate the manna that was given to them. A lot of the Israelites, as they were traveling through the wilderness, became vegetarians because it was only bread. So when you give up something that is meaningful to you, if you make some good bread and you offer it, this is a grain offering. It's most likely made of wheat or barley or, like they said here, a grain, depending on what was available for them. Okay? The grain offering is described in Leviticus chapter 2, verse 10, as a most holy part of the food offering presented to the Lord. Grain offerings would often be presented after a burnt offering as well. So sometimes the burnt offering would be brought with the animal, and then a grain offering would be offered to the priests, and they would eat together as an atonement for the sin. Okay. The grain offering, however, could be somewhat personalized in its presentation. Personally, I like to make focaccia bread, right? So if I were to bring a grain offering to the Lord, maybe I make 20 of them one day, and I pull one out, and I offer one to God and 19 that we would give out to other people, right? You're taking a part of what you are giving and turning it towards the Lord. Now, when we get into the burnt offerings, the burnt offering was the most common type of offering, and it was used for the atonement of sins of omission or commission. It symbolized complete surrender to God and expressed the worshiper's desire to be completely consumed by God. Okay? The burnt offering was saying, I need you, God, more than I can express. And not just in part, but in whole. When he gives the specifications of what to bring to the altar, he says, bring an animal that is pure and spotless. Bring the best of what you have and offer it to God. When I think of Cain and Abel, right? They brought two different offerings to the Lord. One was of herbs and vegetables and things that were very common and was not very painful for them to offer it up. The other brought the best of their flock and offered it to God. God accepted the best of the flock but rejected the least. When it comes to God, we should be giving God our best. We're offering our best to God. And not just in part, but in whole. We want to surrender everything unto him. The sin offering in chapter 4, okay? This was a mandatory offering made to atone for unintentional sins or for sins committed unknowingly. The animal sacrificed in this offering represented the sinner and was considered a substitute for the sinner's life. I'm going to talk more about this one next week, but I want to touch on it in brevity right now. When we sin, atonement has to be made. If atonement is not made for our sin, we are guilty of that sin for all of eternity. God made a way in the Old Testament for people to atone for their sins through the sacrificial system. The sin offering was a recognition of doing something wrong or not doing something that you were supposed to do. Okay? All of us have been in this boat. All of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All of us need to make an offering to God if we were in this system that would say, God, I need to be forgiven for my sins. God made a way for that to happen. Right? We know as time progresses, that ultimately that is what Jesus will do for us, is he will be the sin offering that is presented before the altar of God and sacrificed on our behalf so that we don't have to go slaughter animals any longer. The last one is a guilt offering. In Leviticus chapter 5, this was a mandatory offering made to atone for sins committed intentionally or for sins committed against someone else. It was also used to make restitution for damage caused to others or for theft. If you're caught in a theft or a thievery or vandalism or doing something of the nature that says you are guilty of it, and this isn't even like a recognition, like I'm not saying that I did this, but you got caught. This is more of the punitive offering. That you need to go make an offering. And actually, in one of the commentaries I was reading, they said, if you were caught stealing, say, $100 from this guy, right, and you have to go make a guilt offering, you have to go bring that $100 plus another 20% back as restitution, right? It's sort of this punitive example, this judicial example of offering where you're required to go make this to set things right with the person that you've wronged. Okay? Now, why did God give all of these offerings? What's the purpose of the sacrificial system? Does anybody want to throw a guess out there? What do you think? Any comments? I want you to contemplate. I don't want to just give all the answers all the time too, right? And maybe that's the math teacher inside of me. For righteousness, there had to be some sort of restitution that points them to the cross. Yeah. For thousands of years, this is the system that the Israelites operated in. Okay. The process. I want you to imagine this, and I want you to relate this to your own life. Okay. Most of us don't have sheep or cattle or chickens or doves or maybe pigeons or those little things that hang up on the side of your roof, right? So our system is completely different now. I don't know if any of us in here are farmers of that nature. But we have things in our life that we hold dearly to, that we account for as our monetary provision for things. We have money, we have things, we have toys, we have boats and cars and houses and stuff that we are holding on to. We can look at this in several different ways. Okay, the offerings that we can make nowadays don't look like this. They look very different, and it's different for each person. But if we were to live in this system, and he were to ask us, hey, what is the offering that you can bring to the Lord? How willing are we to separate from something to show our desire to be in front or be near God? The term, actually, for offering in the Old Testament means be near. It means to draw near to God. The offering system was a way for the people of Israel to draw near to God. So by bringing something of value to God and presenting it before the altar, bringing it to the priest and saying, this is my offering. I want to be near God. Can I make amends for the things that I've done? Or can we want to have peace? We want to draw near to God. I want to get close to the altar of God. In order to be in community with one another, we have to be willing to sacrifice something. I want to turn to Acts. Oh, sorry, those were the other ones. Acts chapter 2, verses 42 and following. If you want to turn there, you guys can bring your Bibles and follow along with me. In Acts chapter 2, verses 42 and following, it says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and they ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. A community that sacrifices for each other is a community that grows together. That first song in worship really made me think from a different perspective about God. This week, we are entering into, or today is Palm Sunday, and we're entering into what the Christian calendar calls Holy Week, or Semana Santa. When Jesus came into the city of Jerusalem riding on a donkey, and the people were throwing down the palm fronds at their feet, saying, Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed be the God. What God is doing from his perspective is he's taking Jesus as a pure, spotless lamb, a sacrifice from God to be given to us. I don't know why, but I don't often think of it from that perspective, that God is giving up his best God is giving up his most pure, his most blameless, his most perfect option in Jesus. And he's presenting it before the altar. He's coming in, riding into the city just to fulfill prophecies on a donkey with palm trees being laid down at his feet. But he's fulfilling this entire Old Testament sacrificial system that he said, this is what I desire. I desire for you to bring the best to me because I've brought the best to you. Jesus wasn't just the only Son of God. He was the pure, blameless, perfect sacrifice. And he suffered the painful, bloody death that God required because of our sins. You guys, that's the simple message of the gospel. The simple message of the gospel is that God loves us so much. You guys have heard this before, that he gave his one and only son. He gave his one and only pure, spotless lamb to be slaughtered at the altar so that we don't have to do this anymore. He sacrificed so that we don't have to sacrifice our lives anymore. He gave his life so that our lives could be saved. Just to give one final example from modern times, when I was in India in 2012, I met this doctor, Dr. Singh, I believe was his last name, up in Uttarakhand, Pradesh, who served his city so well that he offered his doctoral services free of charge in a village out in the middle of the Himalayas, where he sacrificed years and years of study and practice. Where if he were to come to the United States, he would be a surgeon, a doctor, making lots and lots of money, but he wanted to stay and help his people. And he delivered babies. He was one of the first ones to learn how to do cesarean sections with one hand and do the rest of the surgery with the other and deliver the baby. He speaks at conferences all over the world. He sacrificed his life for this village to serve them with his entire life. And one day the government came in and said, hey, you're costing us a lot of money. Our hospitals aren't making money. They're all coming to you. You need to be gone. You need to leave our city. And if you're not gone by this date, we're going to come and we're going to kill you. As that date got closer and closer and the people in the village heard about this threat from the government, they coalesced. They got together and they said, we cannot let this happen. And so when the government came in on that day, rolling in with their guns and their cars, the entire village had lined up on his driveway and laid down and said, if you're going to kill him, you're going to have to kill all of us. The one who gave his life for all of them now gave their lives for him, and the government said, well, we're not going to kill this entire town. Let's get out of here. And they left. Sacrifice is an essential part to community. And from the ashes of sacrifice, from the ashes of giving up your burnt offerings and your things, your community will grow. Your community will be blessed. That is what Jesus has done for us. As we saw in the video, our responses from the New Testament are twofold. One, if you do believe this, if you believe, if you've confessed with your mouth, believe in your heart, Jesus Christ is Lord, you will be saved. He wants you to be baptized. If you have not been baptized, we do have a class after church today about the Brethren Church membership here at this church. I'll talk a lot about baptism as well. If you want to get baptized, we want to baptize you in the name of Jesus. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we will have a baptism next Sunday in here, and I'm so excited about it. We will have a baptism in here. The other part is taking frequently the communion together, that when we partake of the table and we eat the bread and we drink the cup, we're remembering the sacrifice that Jesus has made for us, that he shed his blood and his body was broken for us. So worship team, why don't you come on up during these last two worship songs. Let's celebrate that together. Let's partake of communion together. And when you eat the bread, when you eat the little bread and you drink the cup, remember the sacrifice that Jesus has made for you. Let's pray. Father God, we remember that upper room gathering when you met together with your disciples and you said, let's eat together as often as you drink this cup. You're drinking the blood of my covenant. As often as you eat this bread, remember my body which was broken for you. God, we take this minute right now to be reminded of your sacrifice. The sacrifice that God, that you, God, made for us by giving us a pure, spotless, blameless lamb. Our hearts are thankful. Our hearts are grateful. Bless this time, Lord, in your name. Amen.